So no. Matter of fact, if you want to join me, I mean, you're welcome to, but oh, that's right. You're going to be running around naked worshiping Tyrimnos, the sun god. No, thank you. I'll pass. Praise God. She was faithful in the midst of a corrupt marketplace that she needed to be in order to make a living. I love that. So the first thing we can say about Lydia is that she was faithful to God. She didn't even have a complete revelation yet. She was still under the Old Testament, but she was faithful to God. Number two, she was faithful to God's gospel. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this point. I'm just going to rush through this one real quick, other than to say this. When the Lord opened her heart and she heeded the things spoken by Paul, she and her household did something as a testimony to her faith. What did they do? Say it louder. They got baptized. She didn't hesitate. She didn't moan and groan and complain and say, well, you know, when I converted to Judaism, I already did that stuff. I already got washed. I went through these ablutions. I went through this procedure. Do I really have to, you know, do I have to wear anything? I mean, can we do it? I mean, you know, I'm a little shy. Can we do it with like just one person here? You know, she didn't, and not to put that down, but he said, believe the gospel and be baptized. And what did she do? She got baptized, her and all of who? All of her family, all of her household, right there, probably right there at the river where all the other women were, testifying that she was now dead to sin and alive to God, testifying that she was now, by the gospel, a new creation in Christ. The old stuff was buried, it was passed away. She was now risen to walk in newness of life. She was crucified with Christ, buried with Him, and now risen to walk in newness of life. She testified to herself and to God and to the women there at the riverside and to all who would look that she now belonged to Him. She was faithful to God's gospel. So she was faithful to God, faithful to His gospel, number three. She was also faithful to God's people. She was faithful to God's people. After Lydia and her household got baptized, what did she do then? She invited people over to her house. She became a beggar. She begged them to come to her house. Begged them to come to her house. Now that was pretty cool. I mean, because she didn't owe them anything. She could have just said, wow, thank you very much. That was really cool, you know. You guys have a nice day. Have a nice life. I'll see you later. They had already been staying somewhere in town. She didn't owe them anything. She just could have said, thank you very much. Bye-bye. Have a nice day. And they would have walked on off. I mean, if she wanted to, she could have even, you know, said, hey, where are you guys staying, man? I'm a businesswoman. Let me go ahead and give you some cash for your expenses. And she could have just, you know, I don't think they wrote checks in those days, probably gave her a couple gold coins or bronze coins or something and said, here, take this to the hotel, give it to the guy, it's on me today. But she went even beyond that. She said, let me get personally involved. And she begged them, would you do me the honor of coming and sharing my house with me? Let me open up my life and would you share your life with my life? Would you come into my house and honor me by your presence in my own home? There's a sense of vulnerability there. When you invite somebody into your house, man, to stay, you are opening up your life to them. And you guys know, man, it can get kind of crazy after a while. That's why they say, you know, you want to watch how much time, you know, no matter how gracious they are, you might not want to press the issue because your lives start to collide a little bit in the process. But she was willing to undergo that because she had this love just bursting out of her for the people of God. And it's true because Scripture says if you truly love God, it says you're going to love God's people too. If you truly love God, you will love God's people. These folks that say, well, I love God, I just can't stand His people. Well, guess what? Scripture says you don't truly love God. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 to 21, the Apostle John says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a what? He's a liar. Man, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love, he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. But you know, it gets better than that. Proverbs 17:17 says this, a friend loves at all times, through good and through bad, through thick and thin, through lean, through plenty, faithfulness and unfaithfulness. A friend loves at all times. Now, here's what happened. Check this out, man. I just love this, man. I love the Word of God. Man, it's just so rich and thick and chocolatey, man. I watch too much TV. Here's what happened, okay? So over the next several days, Paul and Silas are out there preaching the gospel. They're scattering the seed, okay? And this girl who's possessed by a spirit of divination, literally in the Greek it means a python spirit. It's associated with the Oracle at Delphi. I'm not even going to go down that road. But this girl who was possessed, following them around, and she's crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who show us the way of salvation. Okay? Paul and Silas are out there. They're preaching. They're scattering seed. Here comes this possessed woman. She's saying all this stuff everywhere they go. And this woman, in Scripture, it gives a little background. She made a lot of money for her employers because she was basically a prophetess, a pagan prophetess. People would pay her for counsel in their life, and she would prophesy to them, not in the spirit of the Lord, but by this demonic spirit that inhabited her, by this pagan demonic spirit inside of her. And so she's following Paul around, and Paul finally gets annoyed, and he basically turns to her at one point and just casts the spirit out of her. Bam! It's gone. And now her employers, her masters, are a little bit miffed. Why? No more money. What are you doing? How am I going to make any dollars off this girl now? So she can't make any money for these guys anymore. So they get all mad. They get all ticked off. And understandably, not justifiably, but understandably, they go to the magistrates. They file charges. They get the whole city up in arms. It says the multitude, the entire place is furious against them to the point where they arrest Paul and Silas. They beat them with rods in the public square and they throw them into the darkest part of the prison. Down in the depths. Now, think about this. The city's furious. The multitude is all furious at Paul and Silas. The multitude, the city, is Lydia's customer base. That's the people she does business with. That's the people who put food on her table. That's the people who pay her bills. That's the people who give her her livelihood. And they are furious at Paul and Silas. Who is her new friends that are suddenly staying at her house? Paul and Silas. Oh no. Lydia is on the verge of losing everything because she's got these two new friends. She's putting them up in her house and the entire city hates their guts. Not a good thing. Now, a lesser person might try to disassociate herself and say, well, you know, I'm glad you arrested them guys. They deceived me. I didn't know who they were. I was just trying to be nice. I felt sorry for them. But man, you know, I don't know those guys. They're a bunch of, yeah, if that's what they did, man, they're a bunch of yahoos. Beat them. Go ahead. Give them a couple stripes for me, man. I'll never see my face again. A lesser person might have done that. I don't know them guys. She's got to keep the cash flow going. Well, the Lord sends an earthquake that night. Paul and Silas get released. The jailer gets saved. They get let out of prison. Guess where they go? Right back to Lydia's house.